Good morning. 00 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
39 degrees.
TV 0 DCO monitor.
Good morning. 0100 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
41 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
40 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
39 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours.
Clear.
38 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
40 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours.
40 degrees.
NATVS mobile.
Good morning, Dakota. How you doing?
Morning, dude. I thought that was you. I had the volume way down. I'm all right. A little damp. Had to take the garbage out this morning. And, yeah, fall's here. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Fall is definitely here. Well, supposed to be decent this weekend again, though, I think. I'm headed back up north fishing on Saturday, so hopefully the weather's okay.
Right on. I think we're going to go out hunting again as long as it's not in the 70s. Yeah, this weather's weird. I'm not mad about it. I'm just glad it's not 90 degrees every day anymore.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I love this weather. I wait for it all year. This is my weather. 35, 40 in the morning and 55, 60 in the afternoon. It doesn't get any better than that.
100%. I'm a boots and pants kind of guy, so this is funny. My Montana will be here today, so I'll have to play with that and send you some pictures. I'm already thinking about exchanging it for the 67i just because it's such a unit, but I really do like the touchscreen.
Yeah, you know, I think of a lot of times, you know, gear like that's cool, but then you got to think about where you're going to take it. And will it fit in your pocket? Do you always want to carry a bag? Do you want it accessible in that bag? Do you want it, you know, there's so many variables. That Montana's big. And the 67 is a decent size. Sometimes I think that my 66 is too big, but it works out well.
My noise should be getting better here, by the way. I'm heading south. Yeah, that was kind of what I was looking at. So then I thought to myself, every time I'm taking it hunting, it's been in a bag. And when I go to work with, or not it, but like my spot, which is my current satellite communicator, that lives in a Magpul DACA bag in my backpack. And then when I go hunting, I take it out of that and I put it in my hunting bag or my hunting pouch or my fanny pack if I'm not wearing that and I'm out and about. So I don't usually try to pocket it or have it readily accessible. And Montana, like, if I'm pulling it out, I'm using it, so I'm going to be holding it anyway. So I don't know. We'll see. In my opinion, I think it was a decent deal on Amazon for a brand new one. I ended up canceling the renewed one because I got scared. I don't trust people.
Yeah, I would feel the same way. I was kind of surprised when you were getting the renewed one. That's, I don't know, it's a lot of money on electronics than something that's been returned.
That was my thought. You need to look at the Outdoor Maps Plus and let me know what you think. It's that $50 a year subscription, but it gives you all the satellite imagery, all the private and public property lines and owners, and then a bunch of other stuff. Or you can buy the chip that goes in it for like $80, and then I'll give you Michigan, or one state, I should say, similar types of maps, but then you have it forever. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm back and forth on that.
You know, it might be worth buying a new chip every 3 years and saving some money. You know, that for the most part, that stuff's not going to change very often. I think, you know, a 3 to 5 year time window would suit you well, because $50 a month, or $50 a year, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's just another reoccurring payment that you have to make. And in my opinion, in a world of reoccurring payments, things get real annoying.
I hear you there. The only plus side is it gives you, like, anytime you connect it to Wi-Fi, it'll update all the maps. So that's what you're paying for, really, is you're getting live updates throughout the entire year versus, like, here's your chip, this is what you get, whatever those satellite images were taken, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense, and if you're, you know, you're probably using yours way more than I use mine, so, you know, you're getting your money's worth, where, you know, mine is more of a toy. I do use it. It's fun to use. Mark waypoints, all that stuff. Have the in-reach case of an emergency, but I'm not out really dialing in property lines or trails or anything like that. So, I mean, there's definitely a use case, and you're probably a perfect candidate for it, so it makes sense.
I wish I had a better use case for it. Especially since I have Onyx on my phone, which, in my opinion, probably does a better job. I just want something dedicated, you know what I mean? Like, you and I were talking off-air a little bit about that, like, and what you store yours in and stuff, and it's like, the cell phone's the same thing, and I was telling my wife that last night. I'm like, that'll be the first thing to go, and I'm not trying to sound paranoid, but, like, I have AT&T now, and Verizon barely works at my house, AT&T barely works anywhere. Like, our infrastructure is garbage and fragile.
Yeah, are you going to keep the spot and leave that at home for your wife, or are you just going purely in reach?
I'll probably leave that at home with my wife just so she has it, especially now that I'm 40 minutes from home. I'm not there all the time. I'll try to get her to keep it with her, but it's big. It's like the size of an old BlackBerry. It's the one with the full keyboard, so I highly doubt she's going to carry it, but... that's an awesome little unit, man. Every time I pull it out, it works. I've sent test messages and check-in messages, and it is not the EM satellite network. It's the, I can't remember the other one, damn it. But I pulled that thing out after 13 months, and the battery was still fully charged. So it's a great little device. You just put away and forget about it until you need it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't want to burden the cost of another subscription, but I'm very tempted to buy a second in-reach communicator to have at home and have one on me all the time. But, you know, it's like I just said, it's like, how many costs are you going to burden for, you know, either just in case or, you know, just everything costs so much friggin' money. And there's so many subscriptions, and as you can tell, it's a pain point in my life right now.
Yeah, no, I know. I got a bunch of them, too. I try to cancel them as I see them. I'm like, we don't even use this. Get rid of it. But for peace of mind, right? Think about how much we pay for our stupid cell phones. So, in my opinion, $11 a month for Spot and $14 for the cheapest InReach plan, you're looking at $25 a month for two devices to have satellite communications 24/7, 365. To me, $25 a month to be able to talk to my wife or whomever in a different area reliably, I mean, it's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. I spend that. Anybody that goes to lunch in this Bidenomic spends that. So, it's like not going to lunch one day a week.
100 hours. Cloudy.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I should look at one of those spots because, like you said, it's the whole package. You don't have to link it to your phone or any nonsense. It's the perfect device to just hand off and be like, here, I'm going to message you on this. And you don't have to train anyone. You don't have to do anything. It's just turn it on, type a message, and you're good to go.
NADDF. That's why I bought that one, because it's only $200, and it's a fully contained package, versus, like, the InReach, you gotta use an app, and those aren't cheap, the InReach Mini, I should say, and then the other Spot ones are cheaper, but they're, like, a little square, or, like, what are they, the Zomos, is that what they're called? It's all Bluetooth, so it's got a satellite transponder in it, but then you have to pair it to your phone to send messages, and it's like, that's the last thing I want to rely on is my phone if I need that thing, because it's either gone, broken, or doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's, you know, it's all technology, and it can all fail. So, that's exactly the point. K8RUH.
I'm going to send you a video that I watched. I don't know if you follow T-Rex Arms at all, but they did a really, really good, like, 30-minute episode, I guess. Not documentary. I don't know. They went over GPSs and why they're still very valuable and probably more now than in the last 10 years. But that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to splurge a little bit. I'm going to get a nice unit, and then I'm just going to have it with me all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Send that over. Hey, I gotta cut you loose. I just got to my first destination of the morning, and I will catch up with you this afternoon. But send me that video over. It's K8RUH, and I will be clear on your final photo.
All right, man. Sounds good. Yeah, I'll be rolling for the next 20 minutes or so here, but once I get to the office, I'll send it to you. NATDF.
What are we buying?
I ordered a standalone handheld GPS unit, and then Anthony's got a handheld, and they have the satellite communication technology built into them. So we were talking about those bad boys.
Roger. Yeah, I'll bet they've come a long way since I last looked at them. Gosh, I haven't had a standalone unit in probably well over a decade.
Yeah, they've come a very long way. Not the phones. Like, the unit I ordered is like an Android from about 10 years ago, it looks like. 5-inch touchscreen, built like a brick. But the technology's gotten better. They all interface with apps and maps and satellite imagery and stuff. So, and I've always carried, for the last about 2 years, I've carried a satellite communicator. But it's a standalone satellite communicator, so I wanted to get something that did a little bit more. And then I'm going to leave this one at home, I think.
When you say satellite communicator, what do you mean, something like Starlink or something like that?
No, Garmin uses the Iridium satellite network, and I can't remember the other damn network that Spot uses, but it literally acquires satellite, you know, GPS sends the text message via satellite to either another mobile number or to another communicator.
Right, so you, I assume you have one at home as well?
I will now. I bought my first one. I have a Spot X, which looks like an old orange BlackBerry. That when I was working at that old job, driving up to Traverse City all the time and going through areas that I didn't have service. So I only had the one, just so I could talk back to my wife if I didn't have service or anything. And then now I got this other one coming today, so then that one will stay home. That way we each have one. Roger. All right, I'm just trying to understand, the system and the use case and all that stuff. No, I get it. That sounds cool. But there is infrastructure involved, so that's what the HF's for, when there's no infrastructure. So you got it covered. You got all the bases covered. Yeah, that's the only downside is that's all dependent on the U.S. Air Force maintaining those satellites and ground stations. Or if you're on Starlink, Elon not making a deal with the Chinese. I'm patiently waiting for that supposed network to come out, because it's supposed to be no data farming, completely private, so we'll see. Well, I haven't really been following it that close. I know of it, but it'll all be news to me. Anyhow, good morning. You're on the road a little later than usual, I see. Yes, sir. Good morning. Rainy days, I usually leave around 6:30. I forgot to take the garbage out, so that was a bit longer. And people don't know how to drive when it's raining, so that took forever to get onto 53, or towards Romeo on 53. So do you have a flexible start time? Just the earlier you start, the earlier you go home, or how's that work? I'm salaried, so it's just, my start time is officially 7 on paper, but, sometimes it's 6:30, sometimes it's 7:30. If I have the nanny, I leave at 4. If I don't have the nanny, sometimes I leave at 7:30. So it really just depends. But speaking of, my phone's already ringing. Give me one sec. I got to take this. NADBF.
No problem. WAWP.
NADBF.
So, what else is new and exciting? How's that TH-75 treating you?
Every day is rinse and repeat, man. I don't do much. I got so hung this past weekend, which is the highlight of the last, I'd say, 3 months. But 75 is good. I was texting Anthony. I'm like, I might honestly move it along, though, and just put a mobile in here because it hasn't left my truck in, I don't know, probably since I bought it.
That's the problem I have with handhelds. I've got a dozen, and, some good. Still got the FT5, which I never soured on mine. I think it's just fine. I just never use it. I've got the, an ID51 that I've been playing with lately. Occasionally I'll play with that, but just on the node, I could use a $10 Bofang for that, for a wireless mic for my node, right? It's about all it is. And, I just got a couple of those Redivis RT3Ss. They were Don's. I just put the new software on them and all that in preparation to get rid of them. And just to see what they were all about, have an understanding, make sure they're working. Again, Shrug. And, my Anytone, that's my only one. I grab that Anytone 878 when I feel I need a handheld. And it's not work-related. But honestly, I'm not a big handheld guy. If I could get a Motorola APX 8000 or a APX Next, which, the limiting factor there is cost. They're exorbitant. That's the perfect radio for me. But I don't know that it will be when I leave this job. When I leave this job, I'm not a scanner guy. I don't care to listen to things. And if I leave this job, I don't really care about 800 megahertz. So I don't know. I gotta think long and hard about what I would want. Because right now I just grab my APX 8000 because it covers just anything that I need or care about. But, alas, it's 4,000 plus, you know, so that's not happening for most people anytime soon.
I'm in the same boat. The only time I use a handheld is at home, on the node, on the lowest power setting. I have my VX6R, which in my opinion is a fantastic node radio because it's a single band display, very, very, very small, drops down to, I think, 500 milliwatts, maybe 250, and that's really all I need. That's really all I need in general. I just like having a dual band, or dual VFO, I should say, not dual band, just like the activity. Other than that, I mean, most of the time, I'm not even paying attention to another band, another network, because I'm always on, you know, FBI. That's the only thing I monitor. And especially for what these things cost, I know you're talking about cost on the Motorola, this isn't even the same wheelhouse, but $700 for an HP, I can spend $500 on a solid mobile and do 10 times more because I'm doing, you know, it's a great radio. It's just I could have bought a mobile and been happier.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I've got mobiles in this thing, both Motorolas, but and they're perfectly adequate. You know, and you know, honestly, one of them will do UHF and 800, and I could probably count on one hand the number of times it's been on VHF. So that's another thing too. There's a Kenwood that I've had my eye on. It's a commercial rig. It's the NX series. I think it's the NX 5300, and it's mil-spec, very rugged design, color display, single band, UHF, but it does DMR and D25 in addition to analog, and, you know, for me, that's a real winner. And those are not crazy, but again, it's a handheld, you know, it's like, you get the mobile, you can get a dual bander, because you can stack the, you can remote the head and stack the trunk units. You can get, I think you can do a tri-bander because you can stack them trunk units up.
I wish I knew what I know now a year ago when I spent and wasted a bunch of money, especially in this area. It's such a UHF predominant area. I don't know if it's like that everywhere else, but I'm the same way. I don't even know the last time I was on VHF unless it was the calling frequency for giggles on the highway. And the whole HP thing, I don't live in the city. I don't live near the city. So it's kind of useless to me because I don't do simplex ever. I've done it turkey hunting, but I was on GMRS. Coyote hunting, GMRS. Like, I don't use simplex on an HP. I don't use an HP like an HP is supposed to use. That's what I'm getting at. So, Anthony asked me about it last night. I told him I'll sell everything I got for $600. I got the Cradle, the Mars Mod, tempered glass screen protector, the Kenwood speaker mic, the Kenwood case, and I can't remember what else, maybe a couple antennas. But I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of it and then put a mobile in the truck, whether it be a 500 or, I don't know. I feel like if I go a cheaper route without the speaker in the head unit, I'll be disappointed because of how clean that is. And I don't know of any other ones that have a speaker in the head unit.
Roger, yeah, I like mine real well. Problem is, I really like my 200. It's sitting collecting dust. I've been actually thinking about sticking the 200 back in my car. And then I got a 400 I keep at home. And the 400's a nice radio as well. You know, the 500 and the 200 are, you know, they have that AMS and other stuff, which makes them a little, and like you said, the speaker in the head. And so, you know, the 400 was the first, and still a very good radio, but, you know, they're improving it at every iteration. Now, I thought, well, I should box up my 500 and work out a trade with you. I don't know. Yeah, so hard. See, you're a move-it-along guy. You buy, try, and then move it along. I buy, try, then box it up and put it on a shelf. I'm just a pack rat at all, which is stupid.
There's pros and cons to both.
it's nice that I just kind of recycle the same funds over and over. But then I end up in situations like this where I'm like, nope, shouldn't have pulled that. But yeah, maybe we can work out a deal. I don't know. Like I said, it's a phenomenal radio. I love the thing. It does 99% of what I need out of any radio. It just needs a little more power, and I still have that amp. I either need to get it back to or test it. That's the other thing. I haven't even gotten around to testing that, and all I need to get is a fuse splitter. So, I don't know. I don't know. That's my biggest complaint, honestly, right now. About 75 is taking up one of my cup holders. Oh, man, better not interfere with your coffee. That's them fighting words. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a tough call. Like I said, that 75 is intriguing. I just have no use for D-Star at all. You know, D-Star is a hotspot only affair. There's like no infrastructure. I know there's like one repeater up in Clarkston or somewhere. I forget where. But I mean, it's so unsupported here with infrastructure that I have no interest. I mean, if I'm just going to do something all hotspot, I'll just do All Star, right? Well, why would I bother with D-Star? Or any number of other, you know, anyhow, off my soapbox, you know, some people like it. Good for them. I'm glad they do. But I have no use for G-Star. So that's a lot of radio not to utilize one of its major, you know, selling points. But it is intriguing. I am a Kenwood guy, right? And it does kind of check all the other boxes. What are you going to do? But if it's taking up a cup holder and you can't put your coffee in there, it's got to go. NAGDF. Ironically, the two T-Star repeaters closest in our area are like almost in HT range for me. The Lapeer one and the Lake Orion one. I'm Lake Orion, I can't get into, but I'm pretty sure I can go like 2 miles away from my house and get into the Lapeer one. And yeah, as far as quality, build quality, sound, receive, all that, this thing's been phenomenal. I'm using a horrible antenna setup, and it does, like I said, 95% of what I need a radio to do, especially living in the boonies and then talking into Romeo, which you said the ears aren't the best on it. So I don't really have any legitimate complaints other than taking out my cup holder. Yeah, that Romeo was a real disappointment. I really expected better things swapping out that antenna. But there's still more to do there, but still I expected significantly better performance than we got. So now I'm wondering, you know, how much better can I get it? I don't know. So not real happy with the way it's playing. So I've been looking into other alternatives and other various things, but all in all, it's would like better coverage up your way. What's going on here? All right. Looks like I'm going to be able to get in here and get my coffee this morning. I'm over here at Grosbeck, and just by not far from Cass, you know where that Myers is. There's a Starbucks they put in there, but what a pain in the rump to get in and out of every morning. Oh, and the amp, but don't worry about that. Whatever, we'll connect at some point. It's not a big deal. No one's looking for it. People got to get their coffee. I'm gonna order the splitter right now if I can talk. I'm gonna order a fuse splitter, fuse that or whatever the hell it's called, and give that a whirl this weekend since my wife doesn't work and I should have a little bit of time. So I'll test that out. Who knows? That might solve all my problems and I just need to figure out if it's a mounting solution for this thing. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll look up sooner or later. We'll grab lunch or a beer or whatever, and I'll either get it back to you or I'll give you some money for it, whatever. But I'm rolling into work here, so we'll catch up. I'm leaving the office at 4 today, so I don't know if I'll be around, but I'll put my call out. I'll catch up with you later. All right, Dakota, have fun, and maybe we'll catch you later. Just pulling in here to get my coffee myself, so good timing. Hey, TBF from W8 FU.
WNFP in the multiple.
Hey, Nick, I'm going to be rolling up to the order window here at the Starbucks in a sec, but I can talk until, but if I don't return, you'll know why.
Hey, give me just a second. I'm going to run into the gas and go and grab something as well. Be back out in a minute.
Okay, I'm in line here, so like you said, if you call and I don't answer, it's only it's because I'm either dealing with the drive-up or the window, but I'm here for another few anyhow.
Take a double blonde, double.
Okay, made my order. Now I gotta wait. Who is that? Is that Lance?
No.
It was you.
I said no.
And I'm a good man. I've been taught no means no.
Do I need a sarcasm sign?
Yeah, I suppose. What's up? Driving in?
Yep. I hope the guys do my old job. struggling water testing that car, so I need to go in there and spray water on it. Don't want it leaking.
There you go. Hey, did you hear any of that noise last night? I know you were chatting about it, but did you actually hear it?
No, I didn't hear the noise. I just heard you guys talking about it. That was a struggle bus with his hoip line, but yeah, I didn't hear the actual noise. I just heard the conversation about it. I was thinking maybe he hit that tone burst button and put out a tone or something. But yeah, I didn't hear the actual noise, but I'm sure you guys can pull the recording.
Yeah, well, after you had suggested, the burst, the 1750 burst, I listened to it more carefully, and no, I think it was lower than 1,000. I think it was, I don't know, I'd have to guess, but I think, I'm not real good at that. I'm not pitch perfect. I'm not even pitch enabled, but I'm pretty sure it was lower, and, by how much, I can't tell you. Tones, I'm familiar with 1,000. I'm pretty, that one's pretty much ingrained in my bones. And, and of course, 800 is pretty ingrained, from CW. But, 700, 800 in that range. So I think it was right in there somewhere. It was right, between 700 and 1,000. But it was just a solid tone, and it was, he wouldn't even be talking, he'd just be sitting there listening, and then he said, all of a sudden I lost you, I didn't hear anything. Yeah, because your radio wasn't the transmit. He's claiming no, but he's a noob and all this stuff, and I'm not sure, he's, putting two and two together, but it almost certainly was coming out of his equipment, but I don't know, it could have been something on the repeater or something else. But it was just a solid tone somewhere, I'm guessing between 700 and 1,000 hertz. And it just went for, like, minutes, It wasn't like a burst, It went for, like, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, timed out at one point. Yeah, it was weird. And did it about, 5, 6 times.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what that could have been. I didn't hear it, so I don't even know. I have the faintest idea, but it sounds strange. But, the guy's been around. He's done, I think the last 2 months he's done the siren for a siren test, so... he's getting active.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, that's why I was trying to help him. He sounded like he was, willing to listen and learn. So, all right, anyhow, I'm just pulling up here in my parking spot. I'm going to get parked, get inside, say good morning, figure out what's going on, and then I might be back out here. So if you're still on the road, we'll chat then. After yours, W8FU.
All right, yeah, I still got 40 minutes, 48 minutes to work. But we got the big deads out now with Holly offline, so it won't be till a while before I get back into FBI range. So, and say 7-3, see, be what?
7-3, W8NFC will catch you a little later. I still got an hour.
In the same boat as I am.
Morning, Lance. What's going on?
Just doing the long drive in. The price you pay to live out in the country.
Agree with that. No, I started later this morning. Got a operational readiness test on a new phone system at the office. It starts at 9. Might have to stay a little past the normal start time or end time, so I just backed up my start time today, which I hate doing for the reason it takes 4.5 times longer to get to the office the later I go.
Yeah, I know how that goes. It's 5 minutes can change your drive time by hours.
Yeah, you ain't kidding there. So, just getting ready to get on the freeway. It's 32 mile right now. So there's an hour and 5 minutes, so something must have happened on the freeway, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot up and down 75 with the reconstruction they're doing up here. Just the weirdest thing, like getting into it is fine. It's when you get out of it, it all backs up. this should not be the choke point here, guys.
About a month ago, a guy from my unit lives faster, and he had come down and help me in Detroit. Took 75 there, and he got caught right as it started there, just south of the 106 split there. Sat there for almost 2.5 hours because of the garbage truck fire. And it took him what normally is a 2.5 hour drive, took him almost 4.
Oh yeah, that's a brutal one. I don't think I've gotten back up that far yet. I think the first I've gotten is 98, I believe. Probably a lot of the exits are closed too, so you can't even get off it or anything. especially going the other way.
Yeah, I don't even attempt to go that way anymore. So it's like tomorrow I gotta go to Lansing, so taking my car home tonight. I'll leave from the house, go across 69, and we don't have to mess with 96 tomorrow if I go to the office first. A nightmare.
Yeah, I don't have a good alternate. I mean, the only alternate I have is to parallel it on Dixie, and that doesn't really help when there's traffic. That'll be slammed too.
Yeah, there is not a good alternate up in that area. You are 100% correct there. So it's actually a lot of traffic out here at this time in my county. Not quite to the Macomb St. Clair line yet, but looks like it's across the border day. The 4th Canadian I passed at the exit.
Yeah, I gotta head over there sometime. I'm gonna go visit the plant in Windsor, see how things are going over there.
I'm gonna catch you. I gotta grab this phone call. It's on the work phone. W8NSC.
Might be in the dead zone. Hey, Bailey.
K8RUH, mobile.
WB80 monitoring.
How's it going?
Pretty good, Lance. Just realized what time it is. What time did I get up today? 4:30. Went to bed at 1.
Parking lot on 75. It's like a 30-minute backup here.
Well, probably something happened. I guess it's going to start raining shortly. Had a lot of wet weather, which is good. Fall is here. I always go by October 20th. For years, that was the weather pattern. If we had a good day for pheasant hunting, we were blessed. And I'm going back decades, I realize that. But some years we'd be in a t-shirt hunting, and other years we'd have rain gear on. And one year we even had sleet.
Yeah, it's hit or miss on this time of year. It was in the ex that I got married, we wanted an October wedding, so it would be a nice cool day. It wouldn't be too hot, too cold, and it ended up being 80 degrees that day. It's like, what the heck? But, it's hit or miss nowadays. But, my trees had started changing color months ago.
Yeah, I go by the Bison in the west. My radio room faces west, and there's some big trees on the next block, and when they start really changing fast, we're in for it. But yeah, those were the days. At KPEC, Michigan, nobody heard of KPEC unless you're a pheasant hunter. That was the cat's ass, let me tell you. If you knew somebody that had property, the farmer had 120 acres, Polish people, and you had to bring food. You had to bring food, like homemade kalumpi and stuff, pierogies and stuff like that. And it was a good time. It really was.
Yeah, that's, you don't get many trades like that now. It's something for food. it was like end of July when my tree started to change in colors. I was like, geez, this is a little early. Now the rest of them have changed colors.
Yeah, we had a dry spell here, and that really kicks up the changing of the colors. Other than that, not much going on my way. Went through a few larks in the park. I've had a little health problem, nothing serious, but enough to keep me home. Everybody has had a great summer. We're playing radio out in the park and different antennas, different ideas, different hot dogs, completely different hot dogs.
Get the smorgasbord of tube steaks.
WB80. Yeah, you know what? A great hot dog. I enjoy. I have a particular mustard I put on. It's called Polish mustard in English and Polish from the Polish market on 15 and DeQuinder. Aldi sells a hell of a sauerkraut in a jar from Germany. And, to me, a great hot dog, like a great hamburger, is 5-star, truthfully. You can get all the food delivered to your house, you can try this and that, but a great, good hot dog and great hamburger, I really enjoy.
Yeah, the good old American food. Dogs and burgers. Yep. We had my daughter's birthday was on Friday. We had everybody over on Saturday and grilled up a bunch of burgers for everybody. Turned out pretty good.
Yeah, Costco and Gordon's Food have a good, prepackaged, pre-frozen hamburgers. They really do. Put a little Oriental sauce on them. Teriyaki. When my son lived in Hawaii, if you go to Costco and all they sold was teriyaki hamburgers frozen at Costco.
Never heard of that. Teriyaki hamburger. Sounds interesting. But, yeah, that's what they were. My mom went to Costco and got the big sleeve of burgers.
Yeah, for a while there, we were going to Gordon Food buying the 10-pound loaf, I guess you'd call it, a raw hamburger. Charlene would slice it up into portions and freeze it, and that 80-20 hamburger from Gordon's was great. There and Restaurant Depot, which I have a card from. Other than that, I'm going to make a pot of hamburger and hamburger-type soup. I've seen a recipe on the internet.
You're talking about the big sausage of the hamburger meat, just the ground beef. We get that just packaged up in 1-pound increments and throw it in the freezer and pulling out for making beef. But yeah, these are the pre-pressed burgers. You just pull them out and throw them on the grill.
Yeah, I've seen a recipe for cabbage soup, and very easy. Cabbage, of course, small head, dice it up real fine, fry your hamburger, combine it, of course, in water, big soup kettle, and add a big jar of marinara, I can't pronounce that word, Italian pasta sauce, dump it in, and you've got a real ass-kicking pot of soup.
Sounds good, except for the cabbage part. cabbage is not one of my favorite vegetables.
Oh, I love cabbage. So many things went by the wayside. Charlene used to make the warm tea.
Good morning.
And the first time I went to the Ukrainian Cultural Center, it was like their version of ethnic food.
39 degrees.
They have it every Friday between 11 and 2. Costs you $16 a buffet, all you can eat. And they had goumpi and their version of kielbasa and that. Oh, my God. I actually hurt when I walked out. I mean it.
You filled up both legs, did you?
Yeah, then the second time I went there, they had liver. I mean, they put a hell of a spread out for $16. You can't believe it. I don't touch the salad bar. I just go for the meat and a little bit of potatoes. I have cabbage and lettuce in the refrigerator. I can eat that at home. But with the weather, in fact, Sean and I, we want to go to the Chinese supermarket, 168, you probably heard him talk about it. Their version of wonton is like nothing you'll get in a restaurant. It is phenomenal. But I have to remember to order the fat noodles instead of, I don't like those thin noodles they put in the Oriental soup or Asian soup. Those, they have no taste. Of course, I grew up on Klitschko noodles, and that's a different noodle.
The rice noodle or whatever. You want the lo mein?
Something like that. The gal that cleans the house for me, my son's payer, every now and then I'll treat her to a meal. I mean, she goes over and above. She really does, Well, I can say it on the air. The dog soiled herself because she's old. She gave her a bath, cleaned up her behind, got the rug cleaner out, And, not that I'm, quote, treating the help good. I don't consider her help. I consider her a friend. I think I made mention before she brings her 3-year-old daughter like she did yesterday. And I can watch that kid play in my family room for hours. A little bit of sunshine.
Yeah. Good deal. It works out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing any radio. A different subject. I've been running 20 watts for my base station. A couple of the guys got that G90, the Chinese radio, and they're running 20 watts. And I figured, you know what, I'm going to try 20 watts. So I'm working a guy in the Czech Republic. He's running 600 watts with a quad antenna. Of course, that's why I could reach him, his antenna. And I'm running 20. And there again, Lance, the E on the end of my call has always been a problem. He came back, WB8, ? I go, WB8, get for need, and I go, get. They get the picture.
Yeah, I haven't done too much. I don't know. I'll get out and do FT8 once in a while, but it gets boring quick. My antenna is not the best, and just haven't done anything with it. But other than that, I've been helping the Siemens guys doing some tower work and stuff like that, holding ropes while they're climbing up there helping them get some of our infrastructure all built out.
Well, I've been having fun with the Wires X, C4, FM, whatever you call it. I don't understand it. And I still enjoy that. And a guy came on this repeater from Raleigh, North Carolina the other day, or this system. And it was interesting. It's pretty neat. Hey, Lance, I got to make my pit stop. I'm sorry to run out on you. But when you get old, you got to go. So stay safe. WB80, I'll be clear and running.
Yeah, I'm probably about to go over a hill and lose the flint machine, and Holly's offline right now, so it puts a big hole in the coverage. But 7-3, see you, WB8Y.
Good morning, 0900 hours, mostly cloudy, 41 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours, partly sunny, 41 degrees.
W8FU.
That's a load of crap.
A big, steaming pile of poo.
Exactly.
The noise last night about, I think it was about 10 to 10:30 on the Flint repeater. I'm pretty sure it was the guy that was talking up there on the Flint repeater, but I'm not 100% sure. Weird tone. I'm wondering if you recognize it, can put your finger on what it might have been.
I'll have to pull up my, pull the tape then. You don't hear it on me right now, do you?
No, I think it was something going on with the guy's equipment, but for the life of me, it was a very, very consistent tone that would just go for minutes. And I think I noticed it about 10, and we were still working, or maybe before, 10 o'clock, give or take. But I'm just wondering if, guys,
Lance suggested, well, maybe it's, it's a burst tone, European burst tone, 1750. No, it wasn't that. And it wasn't, it wasn't 1K. I think it was something less than 1K, something between 700 and a K. It's just weird. I'm just trying to think. It wasn't, like, fluctuating like a, like an inner mod, you know, thing would do. I'm almost sure it was coming out of the guy's equipment, but what it might have been is just scratching my head.
All right, so today is the 15th, so 14th. All right, I'm grabbing the file right now off the repeater.
Roger, Dodger. I mean, no rush, but you get a chance. See if maybe you go, oh, I know what that is.
Well, I meant to tell you, we moved the repeaters Saturday night. You know, a whole 1,000 or 2,000, I think it's 2,000 feet. But they're screaming.
Means I got to put more repeaters up down here?
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's, let's see what we got here.
Doing it through the phone here. This is a phone, but it's not a phone. In other words, I can't dial.
Right.
Oh,
you're going to
love that guy.
Really? Yeah, that's the guy from Wisconsin coming in on hams over IP. It's the other guy. He's talking to up there in Flint.
All right, so that's Bob Rogers.
Yeah, it's in that conversation. I think that might have been after the worst of it. I'm not sure.
Oh, at least I can tell in the waveform here where the guy on the phone's talking because he's so loud. Versus the RF user here. All right, I guess I can do it right about here. What the hell?
Yeah, right? Like, what the hell would cause that? Very, you know, like a generated tone. Pretty sure it's coming out of the guy in Flint's radio.
I've heard a feedback, but it's definitely coming out of the input. And from that guy, and then I'm just
messing around with you.
And it's like right on whatever he's up. So yeah, it's the guy. Something in his radio.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my god, that guy on my phone was so freaking flippant.
Yeah, he's got one of those IP phones that we were given, and they lack a lot of setup, and they just sound horrible. They're atrocious on speakerphone. They're not bad when you pick up the handset, but anywho.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 43 degrees.
Ooh, 43 degrees. All right, well, I can't listen to that guy. It's just bugging me this morning.
Radio grid again. WACMN Flint.
Yes, WACMN Flint. Well, we didn't get the quad cars hooked up for the UHF yet. That's going to be the next. I got two quad cars to retune and two sets of cavities to retune, so it's still on the 1225 with 20 watts. But it's screaming now.
So I've been meaning to ask you, have you had any luck getting the Quantars to behave with the RTCM?
The one we have on, we actually ended up pulling the VHF receiver out of the VHF one and putting in a 1225, or no, a 1250, or a 1550. So there's a 1550 in there, mounted into the Quantar VHF receiver to run the 3.8.
So what, are you using it for voting? You're not simulcasting, are you?
Correct, we're just using it for voting.
So if I wanted to do something similar with the 2.6, I could use 1225, 1550s, or something along that line, and then I would just, you know, in order to keep everything copacetic, I would just, instead of using a Quantar receiver, I'd use a 1250 for the receiver, you know, the local receiver. And I may not even have a local receiver. I'm thinking about going to a straight transmitter, straight to the antenna at the transmitter site, blowing smoke, and then put the receiver over at Warren 2. And that way I get rid of the cavities and those losses and all that.
Well, if you're thinking of doing that, you know, and you're not going to do a simulcast transmit, you don't. Just put a regular USB interface at the transmit site, and then use the RTCMs for the receive voting.
Well, my thought was just the Gorilla at the at Warren 2, you know, hooked up with the, you know, with maybe the, you know, the PC, and then RTCMs at Warren 2, and then I want to get a hold of Donut Dave, see if I can get something at Donut Dave, something in the Clem, and maybe one other. That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yep, and you just, if you're not simulcast transmitting, then you don't need an RTCM on the main transmitter. Just inside of app repeat, you tell it to, you can have different channels for RX and TX. So you can say, okay, I want to use CHAN voter for RX and CHAN simp USB, or, you know, CHAN, or UK, CHAN simple USB for TX. And then you can, you know, put the wise box there right with the Gorilla, and away you go.
Yep, that's kind of the thought. I'd like very much to do that, and I think that's going to be the plan. I just got to, you know, find a funding source for the RTCM. And I got to get the, I got to get on the 7.2 project with the RC. I got the RTCMs there ready to go. We got them online and everything like that, so I've been meaning to get on that. That's going to be MPR, so no such problem. No such problem with the discriminator audio there. Yeah. So there's that.
So last night I did, well, I worked till midnight, but I got the BGP up for the link that we put up from Flint 3 to Flint 6, so I did that, so that, now the ring is complete, and then I've got a couple other personal things to do today. We might be going up north Saturday, I'm not sure yet. I gotta see what the weather says. And if I get two other projects done before, we're gonna go up north and do a it'd probably just be a day trip and swap some equipment out and bring some equipment back home. And then I got cans to tune, and I figured out there are frequency pairs for adding a DMR up here in Flint, and so I got that stuff done, and I got cans to tune in Quantars. I got the cables saved for the Quantar interfaces, and I just got to program the Quantars and retune the cans. Probably going to have to, on the Quantars, don't you have to retune at the preselector on the input side, too?
Yeah, but it's a two-minute job, you know, three. On the UHF ones, there's three cavities and just peak. There's nothing unusual about it.
All right, because we're going to put one Quantar is going on 444-600. The other Quantar is going on the other UHF pair, and I think we're going to do mixed mode on it, analog and P25. But I would need to get a... I think I got to find a Cisco router and all that to do that if I want to connect it into everything else.
Well, when you figure out how we're going to do that, you let me know, because I've got everything I need. I got the Cisco routers and everything from when we were at P25 NXing it. We were all big one happy family, but mine are both Richmond and Warren are running mixed mode, and I've got a mixed motor Quantar waiting for Romeo. But I've yet to figure out how we're going to become one big happy family again on the P25 side.
I was hoping Dave had gotten along with those USB V24 interfaces to see how those interface, but he's too busy playing foosball.
That guy.
Yeah, you know him and his foosball. He's got college foosball and NFL now.
Yep. I know. He's got some pretty busy on the weekends, spare time. Got the day job Monday through Friday, and then he's got the foosball on Saturday and Sunday now. Or I should say Sunday and Saturday now. Correct, to be more correct. So, I get it. But yeah, I'm looking for the path, man. You tell me the path, because I would love to get the P25 side of the house back up.
Well, and now that I got a Quantar sitting there, I'm gonna have to get off my ass and do more of it, I guess. Plus, we're gonna probably, there's 500-900 Quantars sitting there, so we're gonna get Randy's VDS Mega Repeater back up for him.
Don't even get me going on that 900 stuff. Last thing I need is another. I was looking at all my handhelds last night, and just shaking my head, going, "This is disgusting." Last thing I need is to go on a search for a XTS 2500 and 900.
If it wasn't for the fact that I got a box of big black Johnsons in the garage.
It's about the only way I'd do it. But even then, I just don't feel like stocking another battery and charger ecosystem. Although the big black Johnsons run the 5,000 batteries and chargers, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm just not feeling the love on it all. I get it, especially with that MDOT, or whatever it was, project that collapsed. Put a lot of that stuff out there. Anywho, but yeah, I just like to figure out how we're going to get back online. I also entertain the idea of, now that we're on the same, 44 net, does that eliminate any of the problems with hooking in to you guys? But I don't know that it does. We still got to pump that B.24 around.
Yeah, we're still using the Cisco. So we're still on the Cisco B.24 to some sites with Stun, but I want to do it. I just need to sit down with those USB interfaces more that are now that they're all talking about and what they're doing on the host layer to see how we can mitigate that, because I think it's using MMVVM on the IP side, so it can handle a little bit of latency and all that thing, the variable latency a lot better than the Cisco Stun can handle.
Now, what's the current, is it P25 link or Quantar link or something like that? Is that the current, go-to?
Honestly, I don't even think that's still running.
Yeah, and see, and that's been my problem, is that I can't keep track, When NX fell apart, there was no clear, successor, and I never could figure out which direction to go. Dave and I were both kind of scratching our head, which way was he going to take you guys, and which, and then I was going to follow suit and do whatever we did, but nothing ever materialized. So, all right, well, I have been champing the bit to get that P25 side of the house back operational and connected up to your network. Not full-time, but, on-demand via talk group. That would be the best way. And so I'm game for any kind of experimentation we have to do in that realm.
Oh, exactly. All right, I have to go make a phone call. People have texted, and I'm like, I'm busy on the phone. I'll call you when I'm off.
Roger, Dodger. Yeah, I'm just
driving up to Richmond. They got to drop some stuff off and make a stop, and then that's pretty much it. Just out goofing around. You go ahead and get your get to work. W8FU.
Yeah, I've got 26 and a half hours already this week, so, I got 13 hours left, and then I'm going to do whatever I want.
Screw you guys, I'll do what I want.
Do you? So.
Yeah, are you on Simplex? You are definitely on Simplex on the output, but I can't do that with this radio. But yeah, that sounds great. That's exactly where I'll be. Perfect. I got to go by Tractor Supply, and then I got to go by RLM's. So I'll do those stops first, and that should give you plenty of time to get up here. And I wouldn't mind going to the shop as well. So keep me posted. All right, I'm pulling away from you, and you're starting to get a little noisy. I'm coming into Richmond here, so anyhow, either switch to the input or I'll just catch you. I'll just catch you. You're coming here. We're gonna meet up. I'll listen for you. W8FU.
Okay. I'll catch you up there. Leaving the house now.
That's much better. I can hear you now. All right.
I thought you were closer than you were. All right. See you in about 10, 15.
At 31 in Gratiot, like I said, I got a couple of stops to make, so got plenty of time.
KFAF. Cool. My node moved over to FBI.
Only the node knows, Hey, Dave. Bye, Dave. I got to jump inside this stop here. Be back in a few. W8FU.
Alrighty. I just wanted to see if it works. KFADA. N8KPP Mobile. Northbound. How goes it? You sound like you're in the same room.
That's good. We're getting everything close to perfection. Couldn't ask for anything more than that. How's Dave doing?
Doing good. Got a meeting in about 7 minutes. And now that I got my node working as duplex, I can turn it easily. Before I had two nodes, one for receive and one for transmit. Now I've got one node that just has two dongles on it. And it's kind of a way to cheat, Normally you would hook up a radio to it, put two radios and put one in receive and one in transmit, but I cheat and use dongles.
I did take my little dongle apart. And I couldn't find any jumper, but I ended up jumpering pin 7 to pin 10. So pin 10 is the ground, pin 7 is the low. And that got me down to about a half a watt. So I was pretty happy with that. But I got the big silver box. I haven't done that to that yet either. The big thing is the Sherry Pie, blah, 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 everything else like that. Well, what that guy's doing is he's cutting the power back, i.e. jumpering 7 to 10 or 7 to 11, I'm sure you know this, or grounding it to get it half power. Then he's putting some sort of bandpass filter on it to keep it narrow. And I haven't quite figured out what the bandpass filter is, but I'm sure that's pretty inexpensive. I just have to find it and know where it goes.
Yeah, it's just trying to keep it honest. You can actually buy, they sell them, and Eric had bought a couple. You can actually, where you put it on the SMA connector, and then you plug your antenna into there, so then it keeps the spurious emissions away, because, that thing's just going to spew out. But, the power levels are so low that I don't, even it does spurious emissions, I don't think it really, only really matters if you want to just be, you know, a perfectionist, I guess. But it's so low power that, I mean, you're going to interfere with yourself, I guess.
Yeah, and then on the flip side, too, I thought about this. Okay, the good one for the USB is only $100. So by the time you get done with all that screwing around, why not just give the guy the $100? Let him do it.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm using. I'm using a hotspot radio dongle on the output here and for my output node. And then it's just a Shari. You know, this is my Shari that I bought, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, whenever I bought it. And all I did was plug the hotspot radio dongle in the USB connector and then put an external antenna on it and put it far away from each other, you know, separated by about 11 megahertz, and the antennas are as far away as I can put them from each other. They don't interfere, which is good.
Yeah, that All-Star Info, I'm sure you're familiar with that. I followed that guy's instructions, but he was using Vox and DSP, and he was using the two radios, and I got all of that work, and that was pretty cool, but it was kind of a pain in the butt to keep all the batteries charged and all the jumpers, and it looked like messy. And then I thought to myself, you know what, this is just not me. So I just went back. I still use the Dell Weiss box, the 3040, for the analog side of things, the All-Star things, and I use the ASL3, and I just use the dongle. And then I run out an antenna, you know, one of those cheap $12 antennas, and, you know, with the coil and then the other coil, and then I cut it. So when I just tuned it for whatever frequency, 440-something that I'm using, and because it really doesn't even need to be dual band, so I just cut it and tuned it for that frequency and called it a day, and it works pretty good, actually.
Very good. Yeah, I follow that guy, too. He's got a new box now. You know, one of those radioless node boxes. He used to have that blue box. Now he's got some new one that he mass manufactures now. And I'm on a waiting list for that one. Because that one's got, he's got like a mic gain control on it now. And it still uses that Elinco microphone. But I want to try that because that would be an RF-less node. So you get duplex and all that stuff without having any RF, so that's great for if you're at your desk or something. So I'm interested in that one. But anyways, I got to get to my meeting. I'll listen one more time for you, and then I'll say 70. Oh, let's just say 73 now, and I'll listen. I'll be clear on your final AF/AS.
Not too much of a final. Heading up here to Richmond to drop Marion's bike off. It sat in the basement for a year and lost all its hydraulic fluid or all its brakes or something like that, and the bike is only a couple years old. So I heard Sean talking with somebody else about, you know, enhancements in the future, and he said he was headed towards Richmond. I thought, okay, it's close enough to lunch. We'll go have a quick bite to eat, and then I got to head towards Southfield. So I got a busy day ahead of me. Enjoy. KFAS and AKPP. Crossing the train tracks en route to the bike shop.
Okay, one stop down.
There's nobody
to go
in the meeting but me. You guys are meeting for lunch?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those serendipity things. He was up here for work, and I've got to get Marion's bike fixed. Let's see if I got it.
Back in the car. Stop one complete. Stop two on my way. Downtown Richmond. Did I break it?
No, you're good. I'm just typing. It's hard to type and chat or use the radio at the same time.
Roger. All right. Anyhow, like I said, I heard Wally say that we have a chance meeting up here in Richmond, so I am on my way to my second stop. It's a little bit west of town, and I'll probably be a little bit thing that should get in time to get up this away.
I'm going to step out. I'm at the bike shop. I'd be listening, but not talking KBP. Okay, I definitely want to do the bike shop, so take me 5 minutes to run down the street and drop these parts off. So don't leave before I get there. Okay, I'll go all Kevin on him or all Karen on him and make him fix it right then and now. See you in a bit.
I mean, I could go there first and then do the... Nah, I'm going to make my drop off first. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, the other restaurant that's really good in this town is the one right across from the bike shop.
Ken? We've been there a few times.
Nah, the other one called the commercial house or something. We'll talk about it when I see you. No hurry. KPP.
All right, I'll be there in a few. I just got to jump out here in a second, drop some stuff off, and then I'll be on my way. W in a few.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 45 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly sunny. 46 degrees.
W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 46 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Sunny. 46 degrees. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 47 degrees.
At ATVF Mobile. Yes, Ada.
WNFU.
Good afternoon, boys. How we doing?
Doing good. Go ahead, Sean.
Yep, just stopped and saw Captain Don. Dropped off a hot spot to him. And I'm making the big turn south, heading home. About halfway home. Yeah, maybe two-thirds of the way home. The Dakota looks like he's right on schedule. When he said he'd be out here. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dakota. Go ahead, Dakota.
Captain Don, how's he doing? Is he still living his best life? I haven't talked to him in a minute. Yes, sir, 4 o'clock on Manny days. So, I got one more this week, Friday. Friday, lead at 4. But just patiently waiting my turn to get on the Hall Road. Go ahead, Dave.
Well,
very noisy and fluttery.
And I am behind one of those new Mustangs. The electric one, is it? It doesn't look like a Mustang at all. Anyhow, it looks like an SUV or something. Anyhow, was that a Cujo trying to get in there? You were quite light.
Yes, sir. I think I'm bossing off the Mount Clemens repeater on the Clinton Township, as a matter of fact. So thank you very much for what you and Captain Don are doing for me. Super, appreciate it. Good note, today I get to go back to work next Friday. So it's great to go back to work and to drive.
I am also on the Mount Clemens UMP right now, but I'm probably going to kick over to Warren here in a minute.
Which one's Warren? 600?
That's correct, 442.600. But, I think I'm gonna put in some satellite receivers. I think I'll put a satellite receiver in Mount Clemens. That way we can avoid having to use that one up there.
What's the complexity look like for a satellite receiver compared to another repeater?
Well, the problem with another repeater is you need a pair, right? And in the Metro Detroit area, pairs are near impossible to come by. And you get on a waiting list, and eventually you might get one. I mean, you can get one eventually, but it takes a while. And and then you link them up, and now you've taken two resources and you've kind of gobbled them up. Which, if they cover diversely different geographical areas, no big deal. But if they're overlapping, then it starts to become wasteful, particularly in a finite resource arena. So now voting, on the other hand, doesn't do anything. You have your transmitters at the site that you're licensed for, and then you can put receivers all over the cotton-picking place. But, doesn't do no good to have, I'd never put a receiver on the 2.6 in Richmond because I just don't cover, out that way. And the receiver would far, far outperform, the transmitter. But, I would put one in Mount Clemens, and that would bolster it up that way. Maybe put one down in Detroit, that would bolster it down that way for HD coverage and stuff, and then, maybe try to get something to the west or northwest or something like that. So one just improves its, your talking power. And also it allows me to do some creative things with the transmitter. I can turn it into a real gorilla as long as I've got the ears to hear, multiple receivers. So technically it's easier, it's just doing receivers. Well, actually it's not. Separate repeaters are easy. You just put them in and link them up. Receivers, you got to have a voting system of some sort, so there's that. And that was entirely too long of an explanation for a 50-cent question, got a $2 answer. So, sorry, I overspent. Dave? Well, I guess it's you, Dakota.
No, Dave. Maybe next go. Cujo, you still out there?
Yeah, sir, I'm still here. I'm going to try to program in Warren. I'm sitting on the Mount Clemens one inside the house. Underneath an incandescent light bulb, so with the dimmer. Who knows, that could be why I'm getting a little scratchy. Give me a couple minutes to program in 600, and then I'll be back with you guys.
Alrighty. Sean, no, that was a good explanation. It helps me understand it a little bit better, puts it into context. That'd be cool. But I feel like you're right. You don't really have anything on the southern east side. You're more on the west side.
There's a lot of people running around, to the northeast of the repeater that hear it just fine, but could use a little help, particularly if you're running around with an HD. Yeah, you hear the repeater just fine, but, talking back, I want to give it ears to hear those HDs. So, something up in the upper east side would be great. And then if you're downtown at a Tiger game or at a brewery or whatever, wouldn't mind having something down in the city. And then something out toward Pontiac would be really cool. And then, I got tons of talking power, or talking capability
then just limited by the talk out power. But it doesn't matter if the receiver is if the talk in far out performs the talk out, that's not bad, you know. Then you just say if I can hear it, I can work it, right? That's the philosophy. If I can hear it at all, I can work it.
That's the HF philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of, but you don't want to be a gator. You don't want to be able to be heard everywhere, but people can't talk in. That's no good. We're pretty balanced right now, if you're running a mobile, but I want to make it a little bit better for we want to be able to run extra class mobile. That's HD rubber duck in the car. Was that Cujo trying on the warrant?
Cujo,
I think you were better where you were. You're probably closer. If you're in Clinton Township, you're closer to the Clem. So Clem's probably your best bet. That was worth a try anyhow. I guess Dakota, you go, and when Dave must have got called off, he can chime in when he gets off his call or whatever.
From when I had a mobile, I think you're pretty spot on. I could always hear a little bit better than I could talk. And I think that's just kind of the way it works, right? It's a lot easier to pick up a repeater than it is to get into it.
Yeah, the repeater's got all the advantage, Fixed, big antenna, height, power, I mean, in theory, if the repeater's putting out 250 watts, if you talk back to it with 250 watts, it should be balanced. But the truth is, you don't have 250 watts. Nobody has 250 in the mobile. It's possible, but virtually nobody does it, right? Most people have, 30? So, you're talking a factor of 10, almost, between the repeater and your ability to talk back in. So, give it a little help, so. But, like I said, if you engineer it well, I'm also going to pick up some transmitter performance, by getting, I won't have a receiver at the main site anymore. I'll just go full tilt boogie straight out to the antenna. So that'll pick up, a bit and simplify things. And then the receivers will all be remote and then boating. So, but I got some serious cash outlay to make that happen and cheap. So, it's on the agenda, but yeah.
I'm still impressed, right? Like, I can go from where I live now and I could honestly probably go all the way down to Detroit and be on the same network. So you're doing something right.
Sean, I'll throw something at you. I think you should rethink that not having a receiver at the transmitter site. What happens if you lose the network?
Well, maybe I could have a fallback in cabinet repeater or something like that. Yeah, it's a good point. And I'd like to simulcast. That would be the really cool way to do it. Then all bets are off. But I'm going to get some RCTMs and experiment with doing that. I'm probably going to go to Warren 2 with the receiver, keep the transmitter at Warren 1, and then maybe I'll have a fallback in cabinet repeat or something. But that does leave the duplex online, so.
Yep. The reason I say that is that was my thought with Saginaw. When we did the remote receivers on 2-4, and the problem then lies in if you do lose the network or you lose a router or something, you lose the repeater. Whereas the little bit of loss by having the duplexers in there and the local receiver, just turn the output power up. I mean, just put more power on it if that's really what you are trying to accomplish. But I think you definitely should take another thought about eliminating the local receiver.
I just like the idea of putting full fire on the wire, man. All the snot I got, putting it on the noodle. Oh, well. See, you have to ruin everything, Jeff. Dakota?
No, you guys are good. It was good timing to go off on a technical tangent. My buddy's old Tacoma just pulled up next to me. I saw a truck rolling backwards. I looked over. I'm like, I know that truck, but he doesn't. He sold it. It's not his anymore. It's just funny to see it again on the road. But, yeah, like I was saying, I mean, the fact that I can go from basically Emily City to south of Detroit on the same network is pretty darn cool.
Well, you can go even further in VHF, but I guess you can't go to Detroit. We don't have a VHF there yet, but yeah. That was kind of my thought originally, Sean, and actually put it to use that way, and, you know, it come to, there was a glitch, something happened, and all of a sudden the repeater's down, so. It's just so much nicer to have a local receiver there tied in locally that, you know, you lose the network. You really should have can on your output to keep it clean and keep be a good neighbor anyway, so. All points to think about, I believe. Just buy a bigger amplifier, put more amplifier behind it. Make up for the duplexer loss. If you truly want to do that. Sean?
Man, you're no fun. All right, anyhow, I'm at home. I'm going to jump out of here, get inside. Dakota, drive safe. Got a long way to go. I'll probably be back in here before you get home. And Cujo, you back online? You were better on Mount Clemens. I think you're closer to it, so that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead and pass it to Jeff. I'm going to jump out of here and get in the house. W8FU.
Yeah, I don't know who that was, but you're not making it. I couldn't make anything out of that. Yeah, simulcast, Sean, I've wanted to do it for years, but it's never come to be, but I do want to do some simulcasts. I think it'd be pretty cool. KVSWR.
This is KV8QYK testing.
It worked.
Thank you. I've been having some audio problems, and they seem to be intermittent, so I'm not sure what's going on. Anyway, thanks for the report. This is KV8QYJ 73.
W8FU from KCKGO via Echolink. Again, 73 to you. I know I probably broke up on the Mark Clemens repeater. And I will catch you guys all later. KCKGO out.
Sorry, I disappeared. I had a call. KF8F. Yeah, I'm getting blinds or shades or whatever you call it, so they're going to give me a quote, and I'm going to go, a lot of money. But we'll see.
You excited you're moving in a couple weeks?
Yes and no. Yes, I'm excited to finally get out of the apartment, and no, I'm not ready for it, so I think I'm just going to have to fly on the seat of my pants. It's going to be moving stuff and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, everything's coming together. So, yeah, need to call the utilities probably tomorrow. It's too late today. I mean, I could do it today, but I don't feel like it. Tomorrow I'll probably call all the utilities and get that all situated to start.
I look forward to you getting into your new home. It's a good feeling, especially when it's all said and done. I'm still unpacking things here and there, and I'm still looking for things, but much happier than where I had left. So I'm sure you're going to be in the exact same boat.
Yeah, you know, you won't believe how tired I am of having to park, like, three buildings down because all the parking spots are full. We only have one spot for the garage over here. So that will be, in itself, will be great.
Did you do a two-car or a three-car at the new house?
Two-car. I imagine one car is going to go in the garage and one's going to stay out, probably mine. But I'm going to try to get both in there, but my wife wants to take over some of it for stuff, and, you know, I got to put my equipment in there. I thought about doing third car, but I'm like, no. We'll just do two and suffer.
That's what we have. I wish. It's big enough to fit my truck in it. I could probably cram two vehicles in it. The downside is there's no room for anything else. So until I get a shed, we're suffering. Both vehicles are outside.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. I don't mind having my car outside. My wife's the one that needs to, she just wants heated, be able to get in her car without, the elements. And I personally don't care. I mean, if anything, I'm so used to having my car outside, back when I was at my old house, that, I kind of like being able to just go right out the door and get in the car and not have to worry about backing out of the garage.
WBAD.
Well, how you doing? And, goddamn, I've never parked in the garage, and I have no desire to start now. It would be a nice luxury, but it's okay. Anyone listening, northbound M53, south of 32 Mile Road, and a black Dodge Dart with a ham radio antenna. Oh, and then I got another ham in front of me, KC8URI. There's hams everywhere. Go ahead, Walt.
It doesn't ring a bell, that call. Maybe, a northern... McCool, what the hell was that? Sounded like a shotgun in the neighborhood, really. Anyway, doesn't ring a bell. And I think that's our buddy Dave out there, am I mistaken?
Yuppers, yeah, I'm talking on the node because I don't have an antenna. And I can't reach Warren. But, yep, that's me.
Other station, go ahead. I'm a round table freak.
Well, Dakota, I'm trying to look up this guy's call sign real quick to see who he is.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard you in ages, Dakota. Seriously, I thought you dropped out of the hobby. I know you were selling some gear. God, I'm wondering if we'll get another lark in. Good weather. Good fall weather, but not conducive for lark in a park. Dave?
Yeah, Dakota was in the same boat as me. He was moving. But he's faster at it than I am. He just he sold his house and moved, and he's already in it, and probably been about a month or two. Mine, I'm just waiting for them to finish building it. So they got the floor. I think they're putting the floors in now, finally. So 14 more days, and then I can start moving in. So it's exciting times.
Yes, sir. About to make my second mortgage payment that I'm treading. KCAURI is Chris Gilbert. He's from North Branch, so that explains why none of us recognize that call. I bet you he frequents the Lapeer and Maple repeaters.
Hard to say, Dakota. Repeater use is down by, oh, hell. Gabe, you've been in the hobby, a long time ago when repeaters were wall-to-wall with traffic, and those days are gone. People have equipment, don't use it. Anyway, I did work some 10 meters yesterday. I'm going to get back on 10 meters in a little bit. Garage, I love a attached garage. When you can barely sneak in one vehicle. My son was doing a kitchen, rebuild a kitchen, took all the cupboards and put them on the outer wall. So I have all these cupboards you can store stuff. And on the left and the other side, he got these cabinets. Some business was throwing away nice, big, tall steel cabinets or aluminum and on the other wall and have a lot of storage. But, yeah, I love a attached garage. Didn't have one in Warren. And since I don't go anywhere anytime all winter, I don't have to worry about peeling off the ice off the windshield. Steve, WBAD.
Yep, and I don't drive that often, so if it was stuck in there, you know, all I can do is, oh, well, the other car was in the garage. I can just take that one. Get the snow off the other one. I saw people using leaf blowers to remove snow, you know, when it's powdered. Like, oh, yeah, I got a really powerful leaf blower. I'm going to do that, you know, electric leaf blower. I'm going to see how that works when the, you know, when the snow is powder. I'm just going to, like, use the leaf blower and blow the snow off of the driveway. And then I've got the snow blower if I have to. But I kind of think that here our winters now are kind of, like, not so bad, you know. Of course, I say that we're going to have a bad one, right?
Well, I forgot to acknowledge, yes, I was busy moving, and then I did kind of take a little bit of a hiatus and get rid of some equipment, but I'm back now, still trying to make more time, thinking about buying another HF rig, thinking about trading Sean for his mobile rig, but I'm back, and Dave, the leaf blower thing works phenomenally well. I have a Makita 18-volt, just small one, because I don't have leaves anymore, which is a beautiful thing, so I got rid of my big one, and I actually used it a lot last year, and like you said, as long as it's not sticky snow, it'll clear the car off in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, we're supposed to have a wet winter because of El Nino, El Nino switching over, and I don't know. One son chops out the lawn service, the other son takes care of the snow, so I don't mind rotting out. Speaking of weather, though, on YouTube, Asheville, North Carolina area, you get more of a real feel of the tragedy that the people go through there. And, of course, the people in Florida. I just love Michigan. I really do. I was like you, Dakota. I used to hunt and fish like mad. And living in Macomb County, you know, you're within, half an hour of great fishing on the Detroit River, hour or so the St. Clair River. At the mouth of Port Huron there at Lake Huron, walleye fishing. I loved it. Ice fishing used to be phenomenal. Our side, Canada, oh, my God. And when it gets around to you, Dakota, you can tell me where you moved to. Dave?
Yeah, speaking of the hurricane destruction, somebody at work posted some pictures. He's in Florida, and he showed his neighborhood. He's out of power. They showed pictures in his neighborhood, and I'm not sure exactly where he's located, but there was a dumpster on somebody's roof. So I don't know if that floated on top or if the wind a wind or tornado picked up the dumpster and put it on the roof. I can't imagine wind being strong enough that it could pick up a dumpster. And then there was another picture with a car, like, smashed into a garage. Like, it was, like, picked up and, like, you know, vertically, the car was against the door of the garage. Like, good Lord. It's like I don't know what, I don't know if that's water or what, but it's crazy. Go ahead, Dakota. KFADS.
NHDDF. My uncle lives down there, and it was a bad one. There was a lot of live carnage, especially in, even up the East Coast was bad. My boss has some family, I think, in North Carolina, and he was showing me pictures of, like, before and after. Like, I think his family, owns, like, a little tavern and really nice-looking place. And then now, like, he showed me it was completely underwater. So, sad. It's a bummer. But, well, I'm with you 100%. The older I get, the more I appreciate Michigan. It's bipolar. You get all different seasons. The weather's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But no severe weather, right? We get some gnarly thunderstorms every now and again, a couple tornadoes every now and again, but we don't have hurricanes. We don't have flooding. We don't have monsoons. We don't have any of that crap to contend with, and I'm thankful for that. But my wife and I just bought another house out in Elmont, so we're up at we're west of M53 and Dryden Road, so we're right up there. We're about 5 minutes south of 69.
Yeah, that's a good drive. trying to think, did Elmont have that one little trendy tavern, you know, and Christ, in the 60s and the 70s when KPEC was the center for real great pheasant hunting. I mean, great. My God. Those days are gone. What a shame. And, you know, on the way back from pheasant hunting, everybody would take a, it was a champagne flight, you know. He had a case of beer in the car. Nobody cared in those days. And that fellow, he used to have a TV show, Arnez, James Arnez, I can't remember. Anyway, there was a beer-only bar, I think on 21, 23, 26 Mine Road off of North Avenue. And my buddy was 6'4", and the guy next to him was tall, and he looked at him. He had James Arnez, TV star. He'd drink beer. His family had property there. But, yeah, the tornadoes are terrible. I wasn't in a hurricane. It just missed Charlene and I in Norfolk, wiped out Virginia Beach, wiped out the Outer Banks in North Carolina. The Outer Banks are taking a real beating. Dave?
Yep, and all the insurance companies are starting to leave. So I have to ask my brother. My brother's got property in Florida. They obviously survived, otherwise I would have heard about it. But I don't know how much he pays in insurance. It's got to be really bad. They don't have income tax down there, but they have hurricane tax or something. Dakota?
It's one of those geographical locations where you got to pay to play, and I just don't think it's worth it. I would not want to own anything nice in an area knowing that at any given year I could have a hurricane come in and completely wipe it out and have nothing left. So I will take my Michigan bipolar weather and the unfortunate taxes we have to pay to live here. Could be worse. Could be hurricanes.
WBD, absolutely. I don't like humidity. I've never been to Florida. Further south I lived was North Carolina in the Outer Banks. Just below the Virginia line. I've skipped over. This is baby. I've been to the Caribbean. Oh, that humidity's horrible down there in the summer. I mean, absolutely horrible. And I wouldn't want to place in the Caribbean with all the hurricanes. But, yeah, the dumpster and the boats on top of buildings, those are the tornadoes. So you got flooding, hurricane winds, tornadoes. And then the people will brag after they're in between the shitty weather. Say, you know, it's nice here in the summer, except in the winter. I mean, it's nice here in the winter, except in the summer you got all the bugs. You got all the adverse weather. No, I'm happy here. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind going down there in, say, January or February. You know, everybody would say, oh, it's 60s, it's cold down here. But I wouldn't mind going in the winter months. But I'd only to visit, you know. I don't want to live there, just like you all. I would rather have our crazy, as Dakota describes it, bipolar weather. I'd rather have that. But more power to the people that want to live down there. I mean, another good place maybe to live is Arizona, but you got to deal with the baking oven heat during the summer, but that's another place that's really good in the winter. That's why all the Michigan people want to go there. But another climate that's really good is the San Francisco area. I wouldn't want to live in the area, but as far as their weather goes, it's pretty temperate. They actually, it's weird, they have like a summer burst in like October where it gets like 90, and then it's, but the rest of the year it's like 60s. So weird, but once again, would not want to live out there either. Michigan is where I've been was born, I've lived here 50 odd years, and that's where I'm going to stay. Dakota?
Warm weather comes at a price, and that's where generally a lot of homelessness is, so I'm good. I like my Michigan where it cleans house in the wintertime, like all the bugs go away. You know, not as many homeless people, not as many armpit cities like San Fran. No, I'm good with Michigan. I went through a phase where I couldn't stand the winters anymore, and it was miserable, and now the older I get, the more I get excited for winter, because it's like a game of staying warm and not freezing is actually January or February.
Oh, yeah, I mean, in during the day, we got deer hunting, we got ice fishing coming up, duck hunting. We get through the winter, we got the spring run of the walleye. Of course, taking a family camping and stuff like that. Tent camping, yeah. Not a $230,000 motorhome. Ted Williams Tents. Oh, yeah, Taju Williams. I've been an East Sider all my life. Made with Polish parts, assembled in Hamtramck. Dave?
I'm going to pause here for if anybody else wants to jump in. If not, go ahead, Dakota.
Are you eight?
Pick it up, Anthony.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Just hopped in the car, turned the radio on, heard you guys talking, and got a break to jump in. So I will throw it over to you and pick it up in the next round.
You're at a round table with Dave and Walt, myself, just talking about how we prefer the Michigan brand changes to... a nice climate that has tragedies like hurricanes and things like that that no one wants to contend with. I already went duck hunting. Deer hunting's right around the corner. I gave up bow hunting. I don't have patience for it or time. And, fall in Michigan is worth sitting here for the rest of the year. That's my opinion. Out west probably better hunting, but cost way more to live there, and I don't know. Maybe something I'll end up out there, but who knows. Go ahead.
Oh, you'll love this one, Dakota. What armament, what gun did I use my first duck hunting? It was a Thompson submachine gun with a 20-round clip. another story for another time. Very interesting. Dave, you pick it up. I got to feed the dog, and I got to make a phone call to one of my sons. And since they're running my life, everybody stay safe. Get your shots. I don't want to hear this shit. You don't believe in them. And be good to others. Dave, WBAE, I'll be clear.
Well, my kids give me upgrades to my immune system every season, so I'm pretty good for now. Go ahead, Anthony.
Jeez, a submachine gun to go duck hunting, that's quite the piece to be using. But Dakota, moving out west sounds great on paper, and it is great. I've lived out there at one point years ago. But, they got wildfires, they got earthquakes. I'll take a couple snowstorms a year and some crummy shoulder seasons to instead of that, that's for sure.
Too long didn't read to sum up the conversation we've been having. That's pretty much it, right? There's pros and cons everywhere else. There's pros and cons living anywhere, right? But I'll come back to the same conclusion that you're pretty damn safe living in Michigan. You're not going to die from some kind of natural disaster. And if you do, it's a freak one. It's not something that happens yearly.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, of course we're going to say this now and something's going to happen. I mean, it's kind of like Murphy's Law. But in general, yeah, we're decent here. I mean, we have our floods sometimes, too much rain. We'll get that ice storm like we had last year and our power will go out. But so far, so good, I think we're in a good spot here. A lot of people are coming to our city. The only thing that's really an issue lately, and you moved far away from us, Dakota, so you don't have to worry about this for a while, is that the city is kind of expanding. People are moving out to the rural areas, which a lot of people don't like that, and they complain about it, but it's like, well, you moved out here to get away from people, so why wouldn't other people want to get out to the country? So it's just one of those things. So you're probably safe for a little while, and then you can move again. KF8S, go ahead, Anthony.
Urban sprawl is a beast. And the way it looks, Dakota will continue to run from it. But And, you know, with that, we have more people moving here, and probably will continue to have people moving here because of the water. The other thing you get out west is droughts. Every year they're counting how much water they have and concerned that they're going to run out. And that's a problem that I can't even comprehend being in Michigan.
Nope, I'm with Michigan through and through, not least. I don't think ever. I am running some people, honestly, because I don't want to live by it. The fortunate thing is, between where I live now and, you know, I'd say 2 miles away, maybe, 34, everything's parked out to where it's got to be 2 acres or more. It's going to be really hard for people to get in.
Yeah, you got a barrier there. By the way, you might want to switch repeaters if you haven't already.
KE8RUH. Yeah, there's a lot of communities, Dakota, that are like that, set up that you can only split a piece of property every so many years, and it avoids subdivisions and things like that. I know Ray Township was like that years ago. I don't know if they still are, but you could only split a piece of land every 5 years, and it really made it so that people that had big pieces of land couldn't split them up very often. We may have lost it, Dave.
Yeah, he may have gotten a phone call or switching or something. But, yeah, I think that's what's... I mean, I think that's been happening forever. I'm starting to see, like, in Macomb where I'm at, or where I'm going to be at, is there's some farms there. They're like, they call them Centennial Farms. Been in the families, you know, for over 100 years. And those are the ones that are finally, like, selling, and then they're turning them into subdivisions and things like that. But as long as the township or the city or whatever has a good development plan, it's usually okay. The thing is, they also have to think about expanding the roads. Like, if it starts getting, you know, you have too many people in an area, at some point you got to make the roads 5 lanes. You know, like Sterling Heights did that. When I was growing up, you know, there was a lot of 2-lane roads everywhere. And then they, you know, 16 Mile became a boulevard. You know, it had 2 lanes on each side, and then they expanded. I think it's 4 lanes on each side now. But it starts out small, and then they get bigger. And even where I'm moving to, 23 Mile used to be a 2-lane road for the longest time, and they widened that. Now it's like a superhighway, I feel. So, yep, I mean, that's progress for you, I guess. But hopefully the taxes stay okay. That's the big thing. You know, as long as moving into a new house, you're going to get the taxes. You can't avoid it. I was spoiled with my old house, and when we had that housing recession, it went down a lot, but now I got to pay for it in a new house. But I enjoyed many years of not having it, so let's see if Dakota's back. If not, pick it back up.
Yeah, I'm back. I had to cheat and switch over to my clear node, but I had to connect my clear node to Flying Deer, so I was getting out of the truck, and the HD just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know how, Dave, I know how the tax game goes. I have been in my house for 15, maybe 16 years, and to hear what the people around me are paying in taxes, or the people that are buying new, moving into houses around me, it's, like, shocking. Like, I can't even imagine having to pay taxes that high. But I don't think it's just in my area. I think it's tax, you know, property taxes everywhere at this point.
Yeah, they have to make up for the folks that are paying the least. I think that's what's happening. So they got to average it out. You know, you there's a law. You can't raise it so much. I don't know if it's a law, but or it's something where they can't raise your taxes more than X percent a year, so they get it from the new folks, and they, you know, average it out that way, and then they're hoping that someday you'll sell, and then they'll
you know, that will work out. And but yeah, there's certain communities you wouldn't believe, like Clinton Township, I guess, is one of them. Taxes are really high for, you don't get much in Clinton Township. And surprisingly, Macomb Township is cheaper than Clinton Township, being, you know, more north and stuff like that. Stowe Heights is starting to be, is pretty good right now, but it's starting to get, you know, up there as well for new people. So, got to pay for the golden, you know what, on Hall Road.
Aside from what I pay in my escrow monthly, my taxes, I can't complain. They went down $2,000 a year, and I have, what is that? I'm not good at math. I went from a half acre to almost 2.5 acres, so I'll take it. And a new construction home versus a house built in the 50s. But yeah, taxes are stupid. That's why, I don't know. I guess if you're getting something for your taxes, like good schools, good public service, things like that, good water, good roads, sure. But where I wasn't getting anything. That town sucks. But I just got home. I got to get inside. I don't know if you guys are going to be around, but I'll bring my radio in, and I'll stay on the note and catch up with you guys in a bit. NADBF.
Have a good one, Dakota. Yeah, man, I get a ton of services for my taxes. So I, although I'm more than happy to complain about it, can't really complain.
Yep. All right, I'm going to finish a few things here. So I'm going to just, I'm going to clear for a bit. If Dakota comes back and all that, I'll probably jump back in. But I'll listen out. I'll be monitoring for a bit. I just got to finish a couple paperwork stuff for work. KFADS.
All right, Dave, have a good evening. I am pulling up at home, so I was going to be hopping out of the car also, so... Have a great night, and if I get an opportunity, I'll hop on the node, but I will talk to you soon. KUARUH, and I'll be clear.
This is KB8QYK, testing.
Coming in loud and clear. This is KUARUH.
Thank you very much for the report. 73, it's KB8QYK, clear.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, partly sunny, 48 degrees.
NATBB.
NATBB.
WACPT.
Good evening, 1800 hours, mostly cloudy, 46 degrees.
KZKGO monitoring.
Good evening, KB8RCR, Ryan, Mount Pleasant, Portable 8, listen. Good evening, KB8RCR.
KB8KGL.
QSR8. Delta Zulu Tango, New Orleans, Louisiana, monitoring. KAC8DZT clear.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 45 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Partly cloudy. 45 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 42 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 41 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 41 degrees.